Welcome, everybody, to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. I am your handsome host, Daniel Hummer.
And I am the ugly co-host, Doug Hummer.
No, you're not. You're the sexy co-host. Yeah. And we have the chairman of Sexy Town, the mayor, if you will, Eric.
Yeah, who doesn't want to be flirted with too much tonight because he's got a headache.
Well, he's sweet like sugar. And it sucks that Clint couldn't be here, but he's still with us in spirit. And tonight we're here, second week of my reign of terror after I won your little competition.
Yeah.
And now I'm killing it.
I mean, I think so.
I don't know. But last week was fun with the big man tier list. This week we have SummerSlam 2004. We stayed up till the crack of dawn last night, Doug.
Yeah, to watch a crowd that's actually shittier than Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Hey!
It's a compliment.
In a Doug way. He's like, oh, thank you. I really enjoyed this pay-per-view. There are things about it, including the audience, that I did not enjoy. But let's get into it. Or do we have some news first?
Let's break down a little bit the Hall of Fame inductions that have been announced this week. WWE Hall of Fame, which will take place on April 5th, right after SmackDown, which makes a lot of sense. You make people stay up to 1 o'clock in the morning, and then some of them have to fucking work at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon the next day for NXT.
That's bullshit.
But Paul Heyman, Bull Nakano, and the U.S. Express, Mike Rotunda, and Barry Windham are going to be inducted this year. I'm going to assume that Paul Heyman is going to be the... he's going to be the headliner.
Yeah, I would say.
Yep. I mean, I know there was rumor that there's a possibility that Bray Wyatt could get inducted, but a lot of people are thinking that might not happen now because Bray's father's going in.
I mean, I think he should too, but...
Yeah. I mean, they still have... Technically, you can have up to 6 or 7 inductees. Which is what they used to do. Now the last couple of years, it's only been about 4 or 5, because they do kind of have like a limited window.
They might wait a couple years so it doesn't feel like they're like cashing in on it.
Yeah.
You know, but he does need to be memorialized.
Yeah.
And it would be nice to have his dad. You know, I don't know if Mike wants to do that though, if he wants. Both moments.
Mike Rotunda?
Yeah.
I don't know if he wants both moments to be on the same night.
Right.
Which is, I respect that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to assume, because they still have to do, if they do a Warrior Award nominee, they have to do that. And then probably a couple
no
more.
No woman this year.
Huh?
Huh?
There's no woman. They're not introducing the woman this year?
Bull Nakano's a woman, Eric.
Oh. Bye.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Do they ever go a year without inducting anybody into the Hall of Fame?
No.
Or does somebody go in every year?
Well, it's WrestleMania tradition now.
Yeah. Okay.
So WrestleMania weekend tradition. So before they did 2 nights of WrestleMania, it would be the Saturday night before. And then when they started doing NXT shows, they would do an NXT show then on Saturday, so they moved the Hall of Fame to Friday.
Okay.
But then when people started getting sick of the fact that you had fucking, 6-hour WrestleMania show, they moved it to the 2 nights, so they're like, all right, fuck it, we'll do... And then, you know, they kind of fuck things up because they move SmackDown to Fridays.
Gotcha.
So.
Sons of bitches.
Yeah. Well, they don't know how to. Oh, well, that's the night Fox wanted it on, was Friday. Well, they're not going to be doing business with Fox next year, so.
I watched that Randy Orton documentary.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's a new one out on Peacock, right?
Yeah. And it's very good.
His detailed his comeback?
Well, details like his whole career, pretty much. He even goes back to Ohio Valley.
Yeah. So this is, I forgot that they did one for him just recently.
Yeah, it just happened. And he's he really gets in depth about his time in the Marines and like how ass it was.
Yeah, he did that in the one where like they followed him and his first wife around.
He did it more in this one though.
Yeah,
he just said in the old one he was like, yeah, I went AWOL.
Yeah,
in this one he details kind of why, and it's pretty crazy. It's kind of like he exposed some shit a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that's why in the beginning, it said that WWE doesn't express the same opinions as Randy or some shit like that. It was like a warning or whatever.
Yeah.
Like if he says something that pisses you off, it's not us. And he didn't say anything else that much controversial besides that.
Yeah. He, when he gets, I mean, he can be controversial, but also when you can get him to open up, he'll...
He's such a grown ass man now, though. He's just killing it. Like he just seems like a mature guy.
Yeah. So, any other guesses as to who could else possibly be inducted into the Hall of Fame? I know there's a few people out there. You know, there's people out there that they're hoping for a few different ones.
Who?
I'd
like to see Lex.
I know he's hoping for it because they keep asking him about it, and he's like, well, if people keep saying it, it might actually happen.
Yeah. Willie and Bubba? No, Bubba and Devon?
They were inducted a couple of years ago, Eric.
Oh.
I know a couple people.
Any ECW is not in there yet.
I know Bam Bam Bigelow's name's being floated around, and they usually do at least one posthumous inductee. So
I'm trying to think of a local. Maybe not local, but at least like East Coast guy. That's why they didn't call him.
It would be Bam Bam Bigelow, but he would obviously be inducted posthumously.
Yeah.
Bam Bam.
So, I mean, I would assume it would be him. Him and Lex, I think, would be like the last two that would be that probably should be announced if they're only going to go with two more.
Yeah, yeah.
I've heard rumor that Haku could get inducted this year.
Any tag teams you can think of?
Huh?
Any tag teams you can think of?
One's already going in. They only do one a year. Last year, they didn't even do one. Yeah, I mean, the list for Hall of Fame kind of gets shorter every year.
Yeah. There's still a lot of guys.
Yeah.
Did you do any current wrestlers? Well, not current, but wrestlers that are still wrestling, or is it all people that...
Rey Mysterio was the headliner last year.
Okay.
But he got inducted last year because the guy they wanted to induct last year to be the headliner, which was Batista, said he couldn't do it because his film commitments were going to interfere with. And Batista actually was supposed to get inducted back in 2020.
Okay.
So they pushed that to, so they were going to do it in 2021 because they were going to do both 2020 and 2021 inductees of. But he said, you know, I can't. I'm in, you know, I've got too much stuff going on.
Yeah.
So, because it was around the time of that that zombie movie that came out.
Oh, okay.
So he couldn't
Army
do
of
it.
The Dead?
Yeah. And then 2022, they went with Undertaker instead of him.
Yeah.
Because Undertaker was ready to give it up.
Yeah, and Ric Flair, like, went in right before he retired. And
yeah.
Okay.
There's been guys that wrestled
after they've been in the Hall of Fame.
So Batista be this year, or is he too busy again?
Huh?
He'd be headlining it if he... Did he say, would Batista be in it this year, or is he headlining again?
I don't know if... I think they would have Heyman headline. Because it's Philadelphia.
So they wouldn't induct him unless he could headline the show?
I'm pretty sure that's what Batista said he wanted to do. He wanted to be the headliner.
Gotcha.
So, and last year would have been perfect because, you know, Batista lives in L.A. now. He lives in Hollywood, and that's where they were last year.
Right.
But, you know, he's like, oh, I can't do it. And so they said to Ray, they said, we're going to induct you. He goes, my career's not over. And Triple H is like, yeah, I know, just go with it. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, the fact that that they've already announced three inductees in 1 week, which they used to do, is they used to spread them out.
Yeah.
But I think with this year, so they might end up inducting more people. I don't know. But usually, especially now because of the fact that the class is gets inducted like right after SmackDown,
They
started shortening it to like four or five, but then I forgot what it was. Like last year, the only ones that were actually alive to give induction speeches were Great Muta, Rey Mysterio, and Stacy Keibler. Muta doesn't speak English.
Really?
So you couldn't understand him, and Stacy, and nobody really liked Stacy's speech. So
was it as bad as Tori's?
Probably, yeah. So this year I think they're gonna try to aim for more people. And plus
Lex wants to be it, but Stacy Keibler just gets it.
Yeah.
That's insane to me.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I would love to see Lex get in.
And why not Ole? Ole didn't want it, though, did he? I don't remember.
I think they asked him if he wanted to go in as a member of the Horsemen, and he said no.
Because he should have.
Yeah.
He should have.
Yeah. No, I agree.
All right. Anything else?
How about Arn?
Arn is in as a member of the Horsemen, Eric.
Oh, so he can't go in as an individual?
Technically, I think he can.
Ric Flair did.
Yeah, well, he can because there are several people that are in as like a couple of different times. Like
Booker T's
in twice. Hogan's in twice. Shawn Michaels is in twice. Booker T, of all fucking people, is in twice. Barry Windham, this will be his second time going in because he's already in as a member of the Horsemen.
Yep.
So they just started because they were running out of people, so they just started like inducting like factions and tag teams and stuff.
Oh, okay.
So that and like Ric Flair for the longest time had the distinction of being the only two-time Hall of Famer.
Okay.
But then he started fucking up a lot more, so they said
giving that distinction to other people?
Yeah, because, you know, when you basically wake up at 7 a.m. and you basically take your morning pills with a bottle of vodka and don't stop drinking until you go to bed at 4 in the morning.
Right.
You kind of make an ass out of yourself.
Best line I've ever heard about him is that whole Kill Tony thing when he walked out and Mark Norman said he was fun Joe Biden. Misty agrees.
Yeah.
That shit had me dying.
He kind of looks like Biden if you actually look at him.
He's a fun Joe Biden. I love Ric Flair, and he's a legend. I know you don't like him, and neither does Sharon, but I enjoy him a lot. And I don't think he should be around anymore in a wrestling setting. I think it's time to...
I don't understand.
He's had a lot of alimony to pay, and I understand. I want him to stay comfortably. You know, he should be rich. But it just feels like...
Well, don't get married after the first date.
It just feels like they get a bit... Like, I'm surprised he could even, like,
still, like, that was a good poke to the eyes to the Jacksons and a good punch he threw when he was going at it with the Young Bucks.
Yeah, but also you got to remember, they don't sell.
They did sell that, though. That looked good. But, no, I don't know. I think Ric Flair's pretty good.
I mean, the thing about him, and then we'll get to SummerSlam, obviously. The thing about him is the fact that, like you said, you know, he's got a lot of alimony to pay. If he cuts out his fucking drinking, he'll realize that getting married 6 times was a, like, if he would have quit drinking 20 years ago, he'd still be on marriage number 2.
Well, you can't tell a man how to live his personal life. You don't know.
I'm just saying that, you know, drinking makes you make bad decisions.
But he's the nature boy.
He's also a moron that owes alimony to 5 other women. He's on marriage number 6.
And he's having a blast.
And he's having another drink.
And having a blast. He still made it a long time. How old is he?
75 now.
He had a good run. He was the nature boy the whole fucking time.
Yeah.
Except when he wanted to be Ramblin' Ricky Rhodes back in the day.
Yeah.
But, legend. I don't think he should be on AEW television anymore. How about Sting's retirement?
I know a lot of people are saying, okay,
when he went out on top,
you know, he shouldn't have, you know, it should have been a single match. Well, he can't really work single matches anymore. I do like the fact that they let him go over, even though he really did not want to. But the Young Bucks are just like, people hate us, they love you, you're going over.
You think he's going to stay retired, or is he going to end up back in WWE?
No, he won't go back to WWE because of how much they fucked him.
Yeah, WWE mishandled him
more
than anybody. When he came back, they should have just gave him what he wants. Gave him what everybody wants. They gave him the Undertaker match. But no, you're going to jab the Triple H, brother. And we're going to make it a whole WCW versus...
Yeah, we're going to relive the Monday Night War. Oh, and by the way, just like WCW lost, you're going to lose because we have to do an angle with a guy to set up a match in a year that's probably not going to fucking happen.
But it didn't. And, yeah, it was he should have got his – Sting should have got his hand raised, and then you build a – and then you do the Seth Rollins title match. Like, it was just so – they mishandled him so bad. He never went over in WWE, did he?
In one tag match.
Like, it's such bullshit. But what are you
going to
do?
Yeah, no, so I don't see him going back to WWE. And I like the fact that he had a few of his friends there. Like, Luger was there. Diamond Dallas Page was there. Now, it all helped that these are guys that live in Atlanta, and they were in Greensboro. So it's not that far of a drive. Although I'm pretty sure that because I'm pretty sure all of them kind of like live near each other.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that somebody just drove a van and they all showed up. Because Luger was there. Diamond Dallas Page was there. Magnum TA was there. Nikita Koloff was there. And Scotty Riggs was
Steamboat.
There. Because apparently Buff Bagwell was busy.
That's funny.
Yeah, and Steamboat was there too, because Steamboat...
I saw the video, Shivani, Rick, JR, and they were all holding the bats out.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun. Darby was in that too. And,
yep.
No, I thought Sting went out like a G. And the Young Bucks were gracious about it. And they were good heels, and then they, you know, did the J-O-B.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's good to go out on top. I understand the old wrestling rule, but Sting did not have to go out on his back, especially he's been a pioneer for so long. He should go out a champ.
And I think they really wanted to give him the send-off that a lot of people think he deserves.
Yeah.
And I 100% agree with that.
And they did. And usually WWE is really good at, and usually it's only Ric Flair, but they're good at celebrating people sometimes. And other times they like, oh, fuck that guy's legacy. But Tony Khan, they did do a good job of celebrating Sting. But when Tony Khan took the microphone, he sounded like a fucking cornball.
Yeah.
And his like, this is the best show ever. He's just such a fucking dweeb, and he should not be on TV. And it's just, fuck that guy. But, I'm sorry, Eric.
What about Darby Allin?
No, you're not wrong.
What about Darby Allin coming out on TV basically saying that he's going to wrestle next week and then afterwards on March 27th, he's going to start his climb on Mount Everest. And he actually told people, don't be surprised if I don't come back alive.
Hey, so said that in the promo.
Yeah.
That actually made me sad.
Yeah, it makes everybody sad. But he's an adrenaline junkie.
Why does he think he's not going to come back alive?
Well, because I think a lot of people have tried to climb Mount Everest and
not succeeded.
Yeah.
There's been deaths on
Mount
Everest.
But
he's young and in shape.
Yeah. It's not like a fucking old.
Well, not necessarily in shape. I mean, he's very skinny. He hasn't been training for this at all. He basically, he wanted to take time off the train, but then he got injured. So instead of training, for the climb, he trained to get back in the ring. And then when Sting announced his retirement, Darby's like, all right, well, I got to be with Sting until the end. So he wasn't able to take time off to train for this thing.
He's an athlete.
He's going into it cold.
The kid's
an athlete. 105 pounds.
Yeah, but he fucking flies all over the place.
You poop bigger than that.
I know. But he can wrestle good, and he moves around. He's got stamina. Does he not have fucking stamina? Have you not seen him wrestle? The kid can go. So maybe he does make it up Mount Everest. He just needs about 5,000 jackets on.
Yeah. I mean, I want him to make it. I want him to make it up Mount Everest. I think he... I think it would be cool if he did.
Now, do you think he's really going to Mount Everest, or do you think that's all just a thing that they're saying?
I think it's real.
I think it's real because he's even, posted about it. He's been telling people in interviews and stuff.
Oh, okay.
It'd be funny if it was a work, though. If he came back with, a husky, and that was, his gimmick.
Yeah.
Come back with a Sherpa.
He's just a snow dog guy now.
Yeah. Cuba Gooding Jr. is his tag partner?
No, I think it's stupid, though, to go do anything and leave your... I hate to... I don't want to be like Jim Cornette when he was talking shit about Becky's pregnancy. Because if the kid wants to go do something, he needs to be fulfilled.
Oh, I can only imagine what Cornette's saying about this.
Yeah, he's probably like, you had a fucking... This is your job! But, I mean, if you got to leave your job to do something that you love and a dream and, you can't get mad at Darby for fucking...
No, but that's something he's always dreamed of. He's young enough. He might as well do it while he can.
Yeah, fuck it. But,
yeah.
It does fuck up the continuity and shit. And Sting just passed you a torch that you're not there to catch now. That's my only thing. Sting came back to make Darby a star. And Sting got a nice retirement. They took care of him. But... Darby does not leave this whole program with that much, not as much as he should shine. He only has a little bit of shine. He should have a lot of shine for being with Sting for so long. He doesn't. A world title main event never materialized with Sting in his corner. Like these things should have happened.
I mean, he did hold the TNT title a couple of times.
Yeah, but he has been, from the ground up, it was him, MJF, and Sammy Guevara. And
the pillars.
He might be the least developed out of the three.
Yeah, I would say he is. They haven't done anything with him, have they?
They've done little shots here and there. And the thing with Sting was a big deal.
Well, but you say that too. I mean, obviously, a lot of people say that Jack Perry was kind of in that too.
Yeah, he failed too.
If you look at the guys that MJF called the four pillars, none of them are on TV right now because. Darby's going to – well, I mean, Darby's technically still there. He's got one more match.
He called Jack Perry one of the four pillars.
Yeah. Jack Perry suspended because he called CM Punk out. CM Punk punched him in the face. Punk gets fired.
He's still suspended for that?
Yeah. He's actually working
in Japan now.
Right now. Yeah. What, Eric?
No, I was going to say the same thing.
Well, Jack Perry's heel turn sucked.
Right.
Oh, they made him a heel?
Yeah.
And it was terrible.
Oh, he's too much of a baby face.
Yeah, he's got a baby face. Yeah. He, I agree.
I mean, and MJF, we don't know if he's coming back. Well, right now, MJF is actually in Lexington, Kentucky. He's getting ready to do a Comic-Con appearance.
Good.
And Sammy Guevara's off TV. He got suspended because he was involved in the match where Jeff Hardy broke his nose, and they told Sammy end the match. But because Jeff had a broken nose and they put him in concussion protocol, Sammy decided, okay, I'm going to hit my finish on Jeff to end the match because they're telling me end the match. His finish is a knee to Jeff's face.
Yes.
So Tony Khan suspended him, saying, when we said end the match, we didn't say hit your finish. Well, that's what I was supposed to do. You know, ending the match is hitting my finish. He's in concussion protocol.
Yeah.
So Sammy Guevara is a failed case, too.
No, he's not. He had a good run. He's very start-stop, and, I mean, that was idiotic, obviously. But also, he's young still. And that baby face run out of nowhere that he hit was some of the best AEW television, not in the first year. That baby face run that he hit. And when the Inner Circle beat fucking MJF's group and that Stadium Stampede, that was good shit. And Sammy being kind of the anchor and getting the pinfall, and then after that, and Sammy went, and even the heel turn with the Tay Conti and fucking him just being like a hateable guy, like whatever they've needed him to do, he's done pretty fucking well.
Which the crowd turned him heel because they didn't like the fact that he dumped his fiance
for his hot ass.
They didn't like the fact, and I apologize for anybody that I offend, they don't like the fact that he dumped a 6 for a 10.
Yeah, but the thing that sucks about that though is that babyface run was so hot for a second.
Exactly.
He was killing it, and then he kind of had to go back. But he was a good douchebag heel too. It's just that kind of altered the momentum. But he is not anywhere near the likes of Jack Perry.
Right.
He has had, you can come up with a highlight reel of his shit in AEW. You can't do that with Jack Perry. You can do that with Darby Allin, especially with all the shit he's jumped into and off of. But I just think Darby should be a bigger star than he is.
Right.
It should have been Darby and MJF in the main event for the world title at some point. The fact that that never happened at a pay-per-view. Like, you got too focused on Daniel Bryan and CM Punk and Christian Cage, and you became what you said you wouldn't.
Right.
But Darby should have been a bigger star. And having the Sting rub, it didn't end up meaning much. Let's get to SummerSlam.
I was just going to say, isn't that our show topic?
Yeah. I don't want to end it there, though. I do think it did mean something, having Sting. I don't want to say it didn't mean much. I just think he should have – the passing of the torch, it should have meant something.
No, I agree with you.
All right.
I agree with that.
Thanks, Eric. SummerSlam 04. We're in – where are we, Doug? We're
Toronto, Canada.
We're in Toronto, the worst crowd of all time.
Yeah.
In the Air Canada Center. 17,600.
You would say the Toronto crowd would be so hyped for SummerSlam.
Yeah, but they were hyped for – they were just a heel town.
They were a heel town. See, here's the thing. When you cheer – and I get the Eugene character might not have been over in certain towns – but when you cheer a man that throws a female ring announcer up against the barricade and you cheer that, I swear to God, they would give Vince McMahon a standing ovation if he walked out there right now and he walked out and said, "I shit on a woman's head, pal." And they would clap and give it a standing ovation because they proved they're a bunch of fucking morons.
Yeah.
Like, all the shit, you know, no pun intended, that I have said about the Philly crowd, which I still mean.
Thank you.
Toronto is 100% worse than Philadelphia. I mean, that crowd still is not Like, they still cannot be forgiven for the way they acted like a bunch of, like, the cast of designing women at the 2015 Royal Rumble.
Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with voicing your opinion, but it does ruin the gimmick sometimes. And it, but also, it does kind of push you to put on good shit. And but the thing with this is, some of this was good shit. Eugene was really into that, man. And Eugene was, this was his moment for that character with William Regal. And the fact that, and we'll get to it, but like, and John Cena, it was a big moment for him. You know, fucking like, it's just
well, they
like,
didn't boo him.
They booed him a little bit. But even Eddie Guerrero is one of the best baby faces of all time. He's such an underdog. He's a hero. You want to root for him. And they were fucking booing him out of the building. It was crazy. It was crazy. And they're fucking cheering for fucking... The only one, I guess, that could tell you who the best heel on the card was, JBL.
Yeah.
Because he got them to boo him. They got him to boo him. But they were rooting for Randy.
Yep. Yeah, and that's the thing, and I get heel towns and all that, and you could say Toronto's a heel town. I just think they're absolutely stupid.
Yeah, because some of this was good shit. Like, Triple H and Eugene had heat, and you took all of it out of that.
Yeah.
You took all the heat away because you wanted to cheer for Triple H. And then now when Eugene gets that fucking, the face, the serious face, and he's fucking, like, from deep down within, and he needs the crowd, and they're not there for him. And it's like, that fucking, that sucks. And it takes it all away from the performance.
So, like, Eugene, like, if they say, oh, Eugene, you're not getting over, he should have started singing Blame Canada.
Yeah.
Because, like, that crowd, like, you know, and this is why I think, you know, they say sometimes that wrestling, that crowds do make wrestling matches sometimes. I also think that crowds kill wrestling matches, even the really good ones. Somebody could be having a really good match, and if a bunch of fucking guys who basically got tickets from their mom just so their parents can change their sheets, you know, they need them out of the house for a couple of hours so they could change their sheets in their basement bedroom. And these fuckers go out and, you know, they boo. And again, like, I get it. Eugene character might not have been over as much as they wanted. I mean, I was a fan of it. Okay. I didn't, you know, care about, you know, what the character was or whatever. I thought the gimmick got over.
It did get over because when you don't look at it, because you could always look at it in the Vince McMahon a very tasteless way of like, oh, they're messing with like the mentally disabled here. And this is like, and are we making fun of them? But if you take it away from that, it's like, oh, a childlike guy that just really loves wrestling. And is like, you can really easily buy into the character and like, really like you want to root for him in the face. And he just, and him and William Regal have such a special relationship. But it was a bit tasteless. I don't know. That's a hard one. But the character did. I thought he was a good ruthless aggression character. And I thought, who's the guy? What's his name? Nick Dinsmore did a great fucking job.
Yeah.
And he was a great independent wrestler on his own without Eugene. But I thought it worked.
I did too. And again, like, I don't care how much you don't like the character, but like, if that crowd would have, like, if this were today, and that crowd would have cheered the way they did at Triple H, basically throwing Lillian Garcia headfirst into the barricade, if that crowd would have cheered, like, WWE would never be running Toronto again. Because you'd have so many fucking people complain, saying, oh, the people in Toronto suck and all that. Like, Toronto would be a dead town. Because, like, that, to me, like, I don't give a shit. Like, if you think the Eugene gimmick was tasteless, that's fine. But you boo, Lillian Garcia is one of the sweetest women on the planet.
Yeah, no, and even like, even if it was tasteless, it's just like you're ruining everything. You're taking away that whole match by booing him and cheering for Triple H. And Triple H is the most scumbag heel, and he's trying to be. And Triple H probably, that was probably an improv throw of Lillian. And he was trying to get more heat, and it just wasn't working.
Right.
JBL is the only true heel on the card.
Right, exactly.
All right, let's start with the first match. We got the Dudley Boys, Bubba, D-Von, and Spike against Rey Mysterio, Billy Kidman, and Paul London. One of my favorite Ruthless Aggression tag teams. Kidman and London, that being. Yeah. I always liked them better than London and Brian Kendrick.
Yeah, I feel like, well, first of all, I think Billy Kidman is a way better worker than Brian Kendrick. I never got the appeal.
Me neither.
So
I do like Spanky in some settings, but I like
when, well, you like to be called Spanky.
You like a good Spanky, but I like Billy Kidman a lot better.
Yeah, I definitely do too. This match was a decent opener. I do think, I mean, if they were going to have Spike, D-Von, and Fat Fuck go over, then they should have pinned, like, they should have pinned Paul London, like you said last night as we were watching it.
Well, because I'm a big Billy fan, but I like Paul too. But and when did Billy turn heel? How long after this?
About a month after.
Yeah, so it makes sense, and you want to push Paul throughout that whole deal, so it makes sense him being the one to take the fall. But I thought it was the wrong team won. It was an exciting. That's an exciting trio of Rey Mysterio, former cruiserweight, or no. Current cruiserweight champion, or Spike.
Spike had the belt.
Former cruiserweight champion with Billy Kidman and Paul under the most exciting team on SmackDown. And they lost. And they lost to the Dudley. And Spike, I love Spike Dudley. And I will go down, if we ever do a top 10 underdogs list in pro wrestling on this show, he'd be about number 4 for me.
Right.
He's right behind Mick Foley, yep. Rey Mysterio, and I'd have to think of a different name. But so he might be 3 or 4. I think Spike Dudley's one of the best underdogs of all time. But his heel run, it's not bad. It's just interesting. And it's weird because this is a school teacher. This is a schlub. This is us. This is the common man. And you fucking throw him in, and him being a bad guy just doesn't feel like it should work. But it kind of does. And the Dudleys being like his bodyguards even. It was a weird concept, and it doesn't really work. It works better as him as a babyface underdog and Bub and D-Von as scumbag heels.
Right.
But this was – it was interesting.
Yeah. The whole boss thing, first of all, how the hell are you going to boss Fat Fuck around when that piece of shit actually takes shit that way more?
I knew you were going to use the bigger poop line twice in the podcast.
Well, when you're dealing with shit like Bubba Ray Dudley.
Yeah. I was about to say, I was the other comparison, so.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm not a piece of shit.
No.
Nah, I mean, Bubba Ray's a good wrestler in my eyes. This, though, with him and D-Von, I didn't, it felt like a weird period, because this was the period where, all right, we split them up. They didn't work.
Yeah.
We put them back together. And it's weird that the TNA split up of the Dudley Boys was better for the Dudley Boys than the split up in WWE.
Well, if you think about it, though, in TNA, when they did the thing with D-Von was kind of getting over, but not really.
No, his shit with Pope didn't work at all.
Yeah.
We reviewed that. Bubba, though, Bully Ray, that's a good – you talk about reinventions.
He killed it.
Well, and that was the thing, is that he was able to get over because he is a bully.
Yeah, it was so good. And especially WWE was doing the bully campaign. TNA just started doing – like, it was a good time for a character called Bully Ray.
Yeah.
And for him to be such a scumbag like he was. I thought the character very much worked, and I thought it's some of Bubba's best work. They didn't give Bubba much on Raw. What did they give him? I know Reverend.
The hardcore title.
Okay. But everybody knows Reverend D-Von and Deacon Batista and stuff. D-Von, they gave a legitimate shot, just a terrible gimmick, and he fucking, but he tried his best.
Yeah.
And he did good as a preacher. But Bubba Ray didn't really get much.
He got the hardcore title, and he was Trish Stratus' go-to mixed tag partner.
And he tagged with Austin a couple times, from what I remember.
Bradshaw did, not Austin, not Bubba.
Oh, I thought Bubba did.
Bubba and Spike were teaming a lot. And
yeah, that was kind of a nothing time for him where he really wasn't a player at all.
I mean, he challenged Triple H for the world title once, but that was one of those.
That was 2001 on SmackDown, though.
No, that was 2002 Raw. 2001 SmackDown was him and Kurt Angle.
Oh, okay.
But no, like when he challenged Triple H for the world title, that's when Flair started accompanying Triple H to the ring. And
oh, so he had a world title shot.
Yeah. So, and every time, like, Triple H would just get slapped in the face, Flair would get up on the apron and distract whoever slapped him. Like, it was Ric Flair back at that time kind of had the Jimmy Hart managing Earthquake gimmick to where, like, if somebody even looks like they're going to get the edge on Earthquake just by hitting him once, Jimmy jumps up on the apron, distracts him, and then therefore Triple H controls the, Earthquake would control the entire match, and that's what, Ric Flair did for Triple H.
Yeah.
I mean, that fucking sucked.
You hated it?
Yeah. I give the six man a 5 out of 10.
I give it a 6.8. I thought it was a great opener.
I give it a 6.
All right. Let's move on to the Death Do Us Apart match, where you marry a broad if you win. And the broad in question is Lita.
That was such a stupid gimmick.
You didn't like that?
I did not.
This was ridiculous.
The match itself was good.
The match was good, but the whole gimmick.
Well, my problem with the match, is that the match was good and it was done well, as in they all did the moves great, and Matt and him have pretty good chemistry. But Kane didn't work it like he should have worked it. Just like this wasn't a good spot. He is a monster heel. He is a fucking, and I get it, he's a brutal, sadistic, like a Jason Voorhees type. That's what Kane is. You don't have Kane fucking being this fucking, I'm more man than you, I fuck Lita. Like, it's just weird. The whole thing just got into a weird, it got too fucking WWE fucking soap opery, and it's should have been something way different. And, like, I love to see Matt Hardy on a big stage pay-per-view, but this sucked. And he looked like an idiot that lost his girl. He got cheated on, and she fucked this fucking ogre-looking dude. She fucked Shrek, and then she fucked Shrek, and then you're looking like Donkey. And he looked like an idiot, and Shrek beat the shit out of him. And then he's going to fucking marry your girl and keep fucking her. And then, by the way, while this was happening, it happening in real life, too, or not yet?
So Edge gets married in September or early October of 2004, which is after this.
Yeah.
At the wedding, he actually fucked Lita.
No way.
Yes.
No way. Really?
Yeah. Matt and Jeff and Lita were all at the wedding, and before he went out and said his, and did the vows and all that stuff, him and Lita.
How do you know this information?
He wrote it in his book.
Edged it?
Yeah. It is upstairs in the...
I should cite it.
Edge?
Well, yeah. Well, that's known that he was cheating. Lita was cheating on...
On Matt Hardy
with Edge. And Edge was cheating on his wife. But they fucked at the wedding?
Yeah.
Well, it might
not be in the book, because I think the book was finished before... right before or whenever it was, but no, like he said it in a bunch of interviews.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane.
She even said it.
That they fucked at the wedding?
Yeah. Holy shit.
Wait, at whose wedding?
Edge's wedding. Edge married another woman. This was his second.
And him and Lita, what, did they bang in the bathroom or something?
Huh?
Where'd they bang?
I don't remember the specifics. I wasn't there. I was not invited.
If I could have been in that room.
But, yeah, no, that's basically what happened. Like, as soon as, or, like, right before he went out and said, oh, yeah, I'm going to go, you know, I'm getting married. Well,
now, did she end up marrying Edge at some point?
No, they broke up, like, halfway through, because they did the storyline where they were together for, like, a year and a half or whatever the hell it was. They broke up halfway through the storyline.
She looked like such a bad person throughout that. And I felt bad for her. And then they fucking the fans, dude. And good on that young woman for leaning into it and being and dealing with the whole shit. Because people were fucking awful to her.
Yeah.
And she just fucking took it like a champ and was like a good heel character with Edge. But, yeah, their relationship didn't last.
Yeah, no. They were, like I said, they broke up. So they were on screen. They were together from May of 05 to, I think, November of 06. They were broken up by, like, April, like March or April of 06. Like, because they did a live sex celebration on TV, like, in January.
Oh, God.
All right, which she did not want to do. And both Cena and Edge are just like, went to Vince and said, don't make her do this. And Vince is like, that's a good idea, pal. I think I should make her do this. So they basically, he threatened to fire her. Well, in her words and in a couple other people's words, they threatened to fire her. She didn't do it. She's like, fine, fuck it, I'll do it.
That sucks.
And then
poor Lita.
She did it. And then when they started doing the thing, I mean, her getting called a hoe is actually what brought Hacksaw Jim Duggan back on television.
But the fact, you talk about real life and wrestling and all that shit. The fact that Matt Hardy would still, like, came back and fucking did the angle. And him and Edge and Lita were all in this big feud. That's insane to me. That they could put that past, like, you fucked my girlfriend. And we were friends. We did the TLC matches. We're really good fucking peers, bro, and you fucking do. And the fact that he, like, Edge got his hand raised in one of the matches. Hardy won.
Most
won.
Of them.
What did Matt win? Matt won the
Matt
cage,
won a
right?
cage.
Yeah, which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so stupid.
But now Matt's happily married with a great woman, and he's great. His son's fucking adorable.
And yeah, they happy. Got four kids.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's happy.
Yeah. Well, supposedly. I mean, she was pulling some shit where, like, she was calling him out. I mean, I think they're good. I think she was just being herself because she's nuts.
Really?
Like, Matt's current wife is out of her fucking mind.
I didn't know that.
Well, because she's another one that doesn't that likes to have her opinion known and doesn't know when to shut the fuck up.
Oh, one of those?
Yeah.
Sounds like she should be on this podcast.
Sorry.
But,
her and I are the same person.
But yeah, I like the wrestling was good, but Kane's a heel. Kane's a monster heel. You got to treat him like that. This storyline was stupid, and him being a, like, he's creepy, but not in this way.
Right.
It just didn't work. Everybody in this looked bad. Matt looked dumb. Lita looked kind of stupid, and Kane looked like a fucking idiot. So I'm going to give it a fucking 3 out of 10.
Yep. I'm going to go 4 just because I thought the wrestling was good in this.
It was good.
I give it a 4, too. But the storyline sucked.
All right, now we have a promo between two young men who would take over the business someday, Randy Orton and John Cena.
I thought you were talking about Eric Bischoff and Teddy Long.
No, those are two old men. And it was funny that Eric Bischoff was like, yeah, Teddy, there's been 4 SmackDown GMs, and I've stayed the test of time. You're not going to last, bitch. And then fucking Eric's gone like not a year later, and Teddy fucking lasts like what, 7-8 more.
Yeah,
he had a long reign as GM. Teddy did.
Yeah, well, because he stopped. They replaced him with Vicky in 07, but then he got the job back in 09, and he kept it until 2012, maybe.
Vicky was GM for 2 years.
A year and a half, because you know, she took it over or something like that, because she doesn't know how to keep her fat ass off television.
She was good, but Doug's like, I hate everybody.
Yeah, because I do.
No, but the two, and yeah, Teddy stood the test of time, and Bischoff hit the can.
And what's funny is that, like, Bischoff's last pay-per-view appearance as Raw General Manager was in a match against Teddy Long.
Really?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Which Teddy won, by the way.
Well, Teddy's the shit.
Yeah.
Teddy don't fuck around.
Not at all.
Wait, got it.
But the two young men I was referring to was John Cena and Randy Orton. And both of them got way better on the mic later. John Cena is really good on the microphone in the current era.
Yeah.
But back then, that fucking rap accent was not working anymore. It was time to start talking like he actually talks. Now he's like so spoken and quiet and very intellectual. And
well, yeah, because most of the stuff that
dudes, but it's so like bad. It's such a shitty. It just sucked.
Well, he's so soft spoken now because most of the takes that come out of his mouth are shitty. So he's hoping that if he's soft-spoken, nobody can fucking hear him.
Shitty or shitte?
Well, either or, because anyway. Moving on. Because we've already gone an hour and we're only in match two. Or three.
Yeah, the promo sucked. John Cena, Booker T, first of a best of five, because WCW did that right once, and then WWE's like, let's keep trying it. And they still tried it. Still the best one, though, will always be the classic with Booker and Benoit.
Yeah. Sheamus and Cesaro did a really good one a few years ago. But it ended when match seven ended in a double count out or whatever the fuck it was. Like, they completely ruined it.
Yeah. Someone should have got a W. John Cena took the victory here, and it was fun to watch, and it was good, and it was... It kind of had heat. The crowd didn't kill it too much, like you were saying earlier, but it was a decent... A lot of these matches didn't go that long, these beginning ones. This went about 6 minutes, so I thought it was good. I give it a 7 out of 10.
Say 7.5.
I'm going to say 7.
Now, the next match,
I would actually get a job for the first match.
I agree with you. The next match I would actually probably call the worst match on the card. And it's weird because it's three guys I like. You have a hometown hero, Edge, Batista from Evolution, and Chris Jericho. And this was like a bad version. Like, Chris Jericho has reinvented himself and done a lot of good shit. I'm a wizard. But like babyface bland Chris Jericho from around this time was not it.
It barely babyface bland Chris Jericho barely worked in WCW.
Yeah, so it just break the wall down. He's like a good guy. He's smiling, and it just kind of sucked.
Fell flat.
Yeah, it fell flat. And Batista wasn't like it was like all the muscle for Evolution. And Edge was in a hometown fucking environment in front of his hometown crowd, and they fucking hated him and booed him out of the building because it's a heel town. And Edge was. You know, got treated like shit by the crowd, too. It really hurt this match, too.
Yeah.
Because the wrestling wasn't even that great, and then, you know, the crowd shit all over it. So, I thought this match was a good 5 out of 10.
I would say 4. Again, because the crowd is a bunch of fucking morons, and they decided, okay, yeah, we're going to ruin this match. Because we're going to boo the guy that's from here.
Yeah, it worked. Well, Eric, what would you give it?
I'd give it a 4.
Okay. We got 5-4-4.
It's a disappointing match considering the people in it.
Yeah, Especially because it's three fucking first ballot Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, next up.
I mean, Edge is the only one that's in it, in the Hall of Fame right now.
Well, yeah, because Batista keeps booking himself to where he can't get in the Hall of Fame, and Jericho doesn't want to get in.
Next up, we got Kurt Angle with Luther Reigns. What did you call him yesterday, Doug?
What the hell did I call him yet? I can't.
It was funny.
I called him. Fuck, I can't remember.
I can't remember it either. But it was funny. I laughed. But Luther Reigns, this big, bulking, fucking buffoon who never was that good in the ring. And Kurt Angle defeats Eddie Guerrero by submission. Which this is after Eddie's championship reign. This is the rematch to the greatest wrestling match of all time at WrestleMania 20 when Eddie got him with the fake or with the boot and ankle locked the boot off after Eddie untied his shoe and then fucking Eddie got the roll-up win. This one, even though the crowd was cheering for Angle, even though he was being a brutal piece of shit, I still like this match a lot, and I thought this had good continuity to the first match. And it's a good little 1-2 punch if you want to watch one and then watch the other to get a nice full story. I liked how they went with Kurt Angle fucking really outsmarting, picking apart the leg, but also untying the boot, taking the boot off, and just going after the foot, the bare foot. I thought it was smart. I thought he learned his lesson from the first time. He would not let Eddie cheat, even though Eddie got so close. Eddie hit him with the belt. He did the frog splash. He hit him with the boot. Eddie cheated a bunch of times, and he still couldn't get it done. And Kurt Angle, you know, through hard work, determination, and stopping the same mistake from happening again, you know, got Eddie Guerrero to tap out.
And 25 Percocets.
Yeah, but come on, man. Kurt's the man. And
he's okay.
No, Kurt's the man. And he's even a meme now. He's still famous with that with the meme of him on TikTok. At least Doug's getting pussy finally. But,
Kurt Angle. Go to grandma.
Come on, Mr. May.
But Kurt Angle, I thought, did a great job in this match, and so did Eddie. You're like the dog from Up. Squirrel! Kurt Angle and Eddie Guerrero.
Where's your daughter?
She's a cat. I thought it was good.
Yeah. She's okay. I would give it a 6 out of 10 because, yeah, the wrestling was good. But, again, this is another match that was ruined by the idiots in Toronto. I'm trying to watch my word because I have a different word for them, but it's one I can't say anymore.
Yeah, that's fucked up to cheer during Eddie Guerrero tapping, I understand. But I thought the wrestling was so good. This wasn't like Matt Hardy and Kane for me. This one was such good continuity from the first one. If you watch the first one and watch this one, it all makes sense. So I thought it was very decent, and I give it an 8 out of 10. 8.1, actually. Eric?
I give it 8.5.
He is. Quit yelling at him. What did you say?
Sorry.
It's okay, buddy.
I give it 8.5.
He liked it, too. All right. Next up, we have what we were both talking about, how we were pissed off about this one. Eugene and Triple H.
Yeah. So the match was good. But there's three things in this match that you did not need. A fucked up Toronto crowd who probably all of them in attendance probably hadn't passed the fourth grade yet. You had Rick. Well, first of all, you never need Ric Flair. Like him coming out towards the end of like, it's just like Triple H is already getting over. You don't need this idiot to come out and fucking, I mean, they finally got him to put down his vodka so he could go out to the ring.
Yeah. William Regal's what really fucked it up.
To be honest with you, he was. I thought he was the best part of the match. I just actually wish that the brass knucks he hit with he hit Flair with weren't gimmick, that they were real.
It shouldn't have ended like that, though. That was a shitty ending. Because, and Eugene clapping in the middle of the ring and fucking, because William, and then William wasn't fast enough and Triple H stole away. Like, it was stupid.
Yeah, the ending sucked.
It was
yeah.
Eugene's moment. He should have did a pedigree and won the match, or a rock bot. He should have did something nice and fucking won the match somehow. And there's no reason Triple H yeah. goes over here. I get it. I the only reason I get it is because he takes the belt off Randy the next month.
Yeah, which he petitioned for because people were tired of seeing him and Benoit wrestle, and he wanted the belt back. Even though Pat Patterson was trying to advise Vince McMahon that Triple H was actually the one killing the house show business. So Triple H is just like, well, yes, Pat, you're right. I'm killing the house show business. Vince, you got to fire Pat.
Yeah.
Because that's back when Triple H had to be on top and not just on Stephanie. But no, there was a lot of things wrong with this match. The crowd, Flair, and then I really wanted JR to just punch King right in the fucking mouth. Like, the whole thing, I get it, Lawler's a heel commentator and all that, but he was going way too far, and JR should have just taken his head and smashed it up against the desk.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought this match, this is the only one that the fans really ruined for me. I thought it was, it could have been a lot better. And the wrestling was good, and I thought Triple H was trying to be a heel and Eugene was selling it well. But, yeah, I'd give this one a 5.3.
I'd go 3.5.
Yeah.
She's a bitch.
I'd give it a 4. Ending stuff.
All right. JBL and The Undertaker.
We're not going to talk about Diva Dodgeball?
No. JBL and The Undertaker.
Okay.
I enjoyed this one. I don't like Orlando Jordan, but I thought for a championship match ending in a DQ, Diva Dodgeball sucked. Trish, the Diva Search girls won. It was a legitimate game of dodgeball, and Gail Kim did not get hit by that ball, Sharon.
Yes, she did.
No, you're wrong. But she flipped her hair, and that's why her head fell off.
Yeah, and the fucked up part about that is it was supposed to be 7-on-7. The one Diva Search contestant, Carmella, decided that it was stupid, it was beneath her, so she didn't even bother showing up to the building. So, like, they told Trish, they're like, all right, you're going to sit out on this one. So, and, you know, Carmella would go on. She'd have a hell of a career, have the worst wrestling match of all time against Christy Hemme at Taboo Tuesday that year. So, you know, her the fact that, you know, she was too good for Diva Dodgeball, but yet. You
know. Was Amy Weber in this thing, too?
Yeah.
And Joy Giovanni. I saw those
yeah.
two.
And the future Mrs. Taker.
Yeah.
She's actually the one that eliminated everybody.
Yeah, she's the best one in there. Yeah, it sucked.
Yeah.
It was, we're far away off from the Women's Revolution, and Trish Stratus is a coach. Yeah, blue. All right, JBL and Undertaker. Someone please give me some sort of thoughts, since I said this for the fourth time now. What did we think?
Well, I don't like JBL, so.
Did you go up by this match? I don't even think you watched
it. I didn't watch the match, but I don't like JBL.
Right. He's the best heel in the building.
He's the best heel in the building because he was able to finally get – he was the one heel that was able to get people to boo him.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, it probably helped the fact that his chief of staff, Orlando Jordan, who, you know – I don't like either, but I'm not going to say anything bad about him because, you know, he's made some lifestyle choices over the last, you know, decade and a half, and, you know, good for him. You know, if you like that type of stuff. But here he was basically just His head looked like a black man's penis. Like that shaved head. He had that Sam Roberts shaved penis head. As far as the match goes, like, I always thought Undertaker and JBL had really good chemistry. So I enjoyed the match. I actually thought that this was one of the better matches on the show. And the DQ ending just basically meant that you knew that they were gonna keep going.
Running back.
That they were gonna have a couple more matches.
Yeah.
So that's what that said to me. And then, you know, him chokeslamming JBL, and they're like, oh my God, did you hear that? It's like, no, because he chokeslammed him through paper.
It was a good
exactly.
chokeslam.
Yeah.
It was a damn good chokeslam. I like this match. I thought JBL did his shit well. It got a little boring. It went a little long. But Undertaker still looked strong, and he was doing some cool shit with his face.
Yeah.
So I
enjoyed the match.
7.2.
I would give it an 8.
I'd give it 7.5.
Dude, Nagato got knocked out.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not in here. I lost money.
Oh.
Only $10.
To the betting group?
Yeah. So hard to see. Poor Nagano. But, yeah, the we all gave our ratings?
Yeah.
Randy Orton and Benoit.
Yeah.
This is the fucking climbing of a legacy. Something huge. Randy Orton is his
clinch.
First world championship. And how many has he won now, Doug?
14,
Doug. That's pretty good.
Why are you saying it like that?
Oh, Sharon. And he won his first world title, and it was awesome.
And the
it was
funny
awesome.
Thing about this, and, you know, we talked about, you know, the reason why he won his world title is because they want, you know, Triple H wanted the belt back, but the fans got tired of seeing Triple H and Benoit. So, you know, Triple H needed another career to kill, so they decided it would be Orton.
But he didn't really kill it.
Well, any momentum that Randy had at that point was basically killed by that big-nosed bitch. Oh.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Like, and Randy had a lot of momentum. He shouldn't have won the world title at that point. He was not ready for it. But if you're going to put the world title on him, at least let him hold it a couple of months. Don't have him drop it the next month just because your son-in-law wants the fucking title. You can, like, Vince in those days, I don't know why he didn't, but he could because he was still the one signing everybody's checks, even though Stephanie had an office job. He still could tell Triple H to go fuck himself if he really wanted to.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus Christ, he did that a couple of years ago, made sure Triple H had a heart attack so he could ruin NXT. So why couldn't he tell him to fuck off in 2004 when Triple H was ruining the business? Why wait till 2022 when Triple H is saving the business to tell him to fuck off?
Yeah.
Like, to me, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
I agree.
Yeah.
So
Randy losing it a month later just ruined his win against Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
It made it special.
It did. He didn't need a long reign for his first one. And, like, he gets 13 others, he'll be okay. But I do agree that you should have need at least gave him a couple title defenses. Give him Kane and have him beat Kane. Or something like that. Give him a good heel and have him beat the good heel.
At least hold it until November.
Or at least beat Triple H once.
Yeah.
To kind of, like, all the young generation. But I liked the feud that ensued after. I thought he was a good... It was also they booked themselves into a corner because you had sold this story. And even though Toronto liked them, in Bizarro World, as King called it, you have built this story of this kid being a vile piece of shit for the last fucking 2 years.
And fucking the our biggest, when I said the list of underdogs, number one on that list is Mick Foley. Mick
right.
Foley is the best underdog in pro wrestling and one of the nicest guys and a sweetheart. And you had Randy spit in his face, kick him in the head, beat the shit out of him, hit him with barbed wire bats, all this stuff, and be a complete piece of shit to him. And now you want us to cheer for the kid? That's the only thing about when pro wrestling. He did such a good job at being that fucking piece of shit, like a rat heel,
yeah.
That when it was time to go baby, he wasn't really there yet. At least not on a world title level.
Well,
for the, they thought Triple H turning on him would be enough of a rub, but it wasn't.
Well, because they rushed that.
They rushed that. It didn't mean as much. Batista was a well-taught, well-told story. This
yeah.
wasn't.
If they would have waited to do, like, have him be heel champion for a month or two, then turn him babyface, then you let the big nose bitch take the title off.
Yeah.
So, you know, do that. Like, what they did here was just, like, extremely stupid.
Exactly.
I
think the match is good.
Now, yeah. The match itself with Benoit and the moment after the match, that worked for me really well. I thought Randy looked
yeah.
good. And, like, clearly he isn't ready yet, maturity-wise, just as a – like, he wasn't ready to be a champion yet anyway. But this was a well-wrestled match. The two had great chemistry that we saw before at Royal Rumble 2004. The guys have good chemistry together. They put on a hell of a 20-minute match, and Benoit looked tough
yep.
and badass the whole time, and Randy looked like kind of the underdog, but it worked because he was getting cheered a bit. That's the only time the crowd kind of made it work, even though he was like a heel, but he wasn't quite being heelish. The whole thing was really good. And even though he seemed not ready yet, especially in that promo when he kept saying, okay,
yeah.
to Todd Grisham. It's like, okay, Randy. But the match itself was hard-fought, intense, great match. And the after, really, I really enjoyed with the handshake and Benoit making it a little different by be a man, like yelling at him, like, it's time to fucking step up, dude. You're a world champion now. I really enjoyed that. I thought that worked in terms of the rest of the story.
And what's one of the, like, high spots of the match was when Benoit went for the suicide dive and Randy moved and Benoit just smacked his face up against the guardrail.
Yep.
Right, you're
done. I want to see it. No,
you're done.
See it.
After. You're done. It was good.
Yeah.
What are we going to rate it?
The match, I'm rating it a 9.
What do you
give it?
I give
it a 9, too.
I give it a 9.4.
All right.
Yeah, I thought this was the best match on the card.
It was. It was a hell of a good
match. It felt like a pass in the torch when Benoit went back in and shook his hand.
Yeah. That was my favorite part of the match, especially because you didn't know
yeah.
if Randy was going to accept it in the way he's like, be a man. Like,
and then when he didn't, and Randy's pounding his chest and
yeah,
all that.
It worked for me. I thought it was really good, especially after an intense match like that. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I give the whole thing, SummerSlam, I give the whole thing an 8.2 out of 10. I thought for a Ruthless Aggression pay-per-view in 2004, and this is an underrated, really good year, I thought it was a great pay-per-view. I liked it.
Yes, it was. I enjoyed it.
If the crowd would have behaved themselves and not been a bunch of dumb shits, this would have been a 9.
Yeah.
But because the crowd is extremely stupid, it's a 7.5. So, you know, hopefully every person from Philadelphia that's getting ready to go to either one of the two nights at WrestleMania this year needs to watch this pay-per-view so they know what not to do.
Yeah.
Yes. Thanks, Doug.
No
I
problem.
Agree. The crowd did ruin it a bit. Do you want to know what we're doing next week, or does Eric got to go?
Eric's got to give his rating.
I'm giving it a 8 out of 10. I thought it was a really solid pay-per-view. I enjoyed it from top to bottom. Even the dodgeball thing was corny, but it was fun to watch. I thought
it was
maybe because it was. Doug said what I was going to say.
Well, when you're such a sexual presence like Eric is.
Yeah, it's amazing that he doesn't, every time he enters a room, he doesn't have a girl on each arm.
And he's going, I'm a sexy boy.
Sexy boy.
I'm not your boy, toy. All right.
Boy, toy.
Thanks, Eric. We'll all get back to playing 2K. We'll SmackDown's on soon. But
we don't have cable.
Yeah, no. we just got rid of it because we have a bunch of streams. You got to explain it now. You can't make us sound like broke bitches, all right?
Yeah. Well, we have a bunch of streaming services, just none of them that carry SmackDown.
Yeah.
Well, Raw will be on Netflix soon.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. You want to know what we're doing next week, you fuckhead?
Now that we've got everything out of the way, yeah.
All right. We're going to be doing our top 10 list of unpopular opinions.
Oh, shit.
So we're each going to have our list of 10 unpopular opinions and our takes that we think that the rest of the general population of wrestling audience would not agree with. We're going to do that. But we're also going to have 3 extra opinions. One for that each of our co-hosts would not like. So we're going to do our 10 opinions, but we're going to start. We're each going to have, like, so I'm going to have an opinion that I know Doug wouldn't like, an opinion Eric wouldn't like, and an opinion that Clinton wouldn't like, if Clinton's not.
I was just going to say, if we can get Clinton to actually commit to doing the show.
Then we'll do that. If not, then we'll just have 2 extra opinions.
Yeah,
but that's what we're gonna do. I already have something that I know is gonna piss you off to all Ohio, and I know you're ready. You got the Shawn Michaels fucking electrocution chair ready to go for Eric.
So. I already know that you're gonna say something like Vince McMahon should become God when they're shit like that.
I'm expecting a Brian Danielson bashing.
No, yeah, there might be a little bit of that. But I think it's going to be a fun episode where we get to talk a little shit. That's always my favorite. And it's going to be a good time. So that's the 3rd week of my Rated Terror. Everybody, I love you guys.
Love you too.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Enjoy the pay-per-view tomorrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event.